Chapter 7. Later, food ladies in the eating place with the promising sounds of running water, noisy pots, and scraping spoons. Delicious smells are drifting through the house. It's all I can do to slurp the drool from my muzzle. Hattie and Fetchman charge in and gather round the table. I'm parked in the safe hallway, looking through the door, and I see a wonderful sight. Food ladies pouring tasty food into my dish. As it's rattling in, I jump up and run in circles. Yippee, it's supper time! Food lady sets my dish on the wicked floor. She takes her seat next to Hattie and Fetchman. My tummy is rumbling. I smack my chops. I can hardly wait. Hattie glances at food lady, then back at me. Fenway, she calls in a hopeful voice. I know the routine by now. I cock my head and put on my most pathetic face. I whimper and moan. Please, oh please, Hattie, I'm so hungry. Hattie turns to food lady. She wants to bring me that dish. No, food lady says. Fetchman shakes his head. Training, he says. What's wrong? Hattie's supposed to get up and serve me my food out here in the hallway. I whine some more. Hattie, Hattie, oh please, Hattie. Please, please, please. She's gazing at Fetchman, then food lady, then back to Fetchman. She looks desperate. She wants to help me. What's going on? I cry and whimper and whine again and again and again. I even roll onto my back and moan. Oh, why isn't anybody feeding me? There's only so much a suffering one dog can take. It's hard work. I keep whining and moaning while my humans finish eating and put everything away. Hattie acts like it hurts to look at me. The feeling is mutual. Just when I'm ready to give up, Hattie walks out of the eating place and over to the front door. I spring up to see what's going on. She's holding her backpack and something even better. My leash. Good thing I showed up. Fetchman grabs jingling keys. Food lady reaches for her purse. This can only mean one thing. We're going for a ride in the car. Whoopee! Fetchman and food lady are chattering up front. Me and Hattie are cuddled in the back. She speaks to me in a quiet voice like she's telling me a secret. She pets me over and over. My nose detects a fabulous scent in her backpack. There's no doubt about it. That thing is loaded with treats. Hattie's obviously planning to give them to me. I can't stop licking her face. This is the way it's supposed to be. My Hattie is back. When the car stops, I barrel out the door, ready for the fun we are about to have with those treats. And when I search around the parking lot, there's more excitement right in front of my eyes and my nose. Lots of dogs and humans, and they're heading into a giant building. An indoor dog park? Hooray! Hooray! I pull Hattie through the doors. I can't get in fast enough. But inside, it's disturbingly quiet. And worse, the dogs are all on leashes. What is this place? I say as we approach a yellow lab. After we politely sniff each other's bums, he tells me his name is Lance. He's with a tall human who smells like hamburger.
Dunno, dude. He says, but then I rarely do.
Well, it's going to be wonderful, I say. He gazes at me blankly.
Huh?
I nuzzle Hattie's leg. This is my short human. Her backpack is full of treats. He perks up.
Treats? Awesome.
Food lady and Fetchman are speaking with some other humans. One of them is tugging the leash of a basset hound who looks like he wants to run away. Does he know something I don't? We introduce ourselves. His name is Rocky. This place sure is curious. It must be explored. Nose to the floor, I lead Hattie from the corner to corner, intoxicated by the amazing aromas. Every single inch of space smells like dogs. All kinds of dogs. I detect whiffs of schnauzers and boxers and poodles and every other breed I can imagine. Even more than I've ever smelled before. Has every kind of dog in the world been here? Talk about a promising sign. This place is probably the best indoor dog park ever. Or maybe dog heaven. As I continue to sniff, I discover something even more incredible. Treats. And not just the delicious kind in Hattie's backpack. Wowee, it's a smorgasbord of dog treats. Cheesy, livery, beefy. The smells are totally overwhelming. I pivot and jump on Hattie's legs. This is going to be mind-blowing, I bark. I can hardly wait till the fun starts. She looks around uneasily and shifts her backpack to her other shoulder. She smells nervous. Why isn't she more excited? And more important, why isn't she handing over the treats? Suddenly, I notice that one human is striding toward us very purposefully. Like, maybe she wants some treats, too. Well, she's going to have a fight on her hands. Or maybe not. The one human's energy is friendly, yet her posture is telling me to stand on guard. A bad combination. She starts talking, and Hattie's treating her like she's very important. She says that mysterious word, training, too. Hattie grips the leash tighter, like she wants to keep her loyal dog close. There's something puzzling about this one human. Besides the fact that she smells like the same wonderful combination of dogs and treats as everything else in this place. All of a sudden, she turns and begins talking to everyone, like she's in charge. And the humans all fall for it. They go quiet, staring at her with rapt attention. The dogs, not so much. Rocky digs his hind claws onto the floor like he's being dragged into the vet's office. The roundest beagle I've ever seen turns to me with noticeable effort. Did I hear something about treats? I bounce on my paws. You bet, I say. Tons of them. I smelled them with my own nose. Good, I'm starving, she says. But there better not be any work involved. I don't do work. I gaze at her, bewildered. She tells me her name is Sadie. The one human keeps on talking. The humans keep on listening, and the dogs have no idea what's going on. Do the humans expect us to just hang out and wait patiently? It's the very definition of impossible. All the dogs start barking at once. I want to go home, Rocky howls. Lance jumps on his human's legs, nearly knocking him over. Where are the treats? He barks. I hope I won't be expected to run around or hop over anything, says Sadie, sprawling out and yawning. That's not how I roll. Hold on, you guys, I say. I have a good feeling about this. Rocky stops howling and eyes me with suspicion. Who died and made you alpha dog? I sink down. Nobody. I mean, let's give it a chance. A chance, Sadie says, nodding at the anxious-smelling human standing next to her. Honey, it's obvious you haven't been around very long. The one human says a magical word we all know. Treats. Every single ear perks up. I spring up, my tail going nuts. See, I tell the others. It's about time, Sadie says, struggling to push herself onto all fours. Huh? Says Lance. Sure enough, the humans produce treats, but for some reason everybody's focused on the one human instead of the dogs. The dogs begin jumping and sniffing at the closed fists. Given the totally unfair height advantage, the humans win. For now. I turn to Hattie, who's clutching a handful of tasty little nuggets. Her face is glowing with excitement. Ready? She asks. I'm so ready, I'm so ready. I bark, darting back and forth. She leans over and holds out her fist. Fenway, sit. I leap up as high as I can, my nose going crazy. Those treats are in there all right. The meaty fragrance is undeniable. I nip and I nip, but Hattie's hand remains closed. Why aren't those treats dropping into my mouth? Hattie's excited face is unchanged. She speaks again. Ready, Fenway? Sit. Sit! Sit! I'm so ready, I'm so ready! I jump and jump, my tail going berserk. Come on, why aren't those treats coming? Hattie's cheeks droop. So do her eyes. Is this some kind of game? It isn't very fun. For either of us, Hattie seems almost as upset as I am. Fetchman puts his hand on Hattie's back. Food lady nods at her reassuringly. I'm about to ask why she's the one they're reassuring when our heads turn toward a commotion on the other side of the room. Lance is jumping and pawing his human.
Yo, buddy, where are the treats?
He barks. The one human heads over to them. Lance's human steps aside as if he expects the one human to rescue him. He's grimacing like he's in pain. Or perhaps he's afraid of what's next. Lance turns to the rest of us.
What are you looking at?
The one human stands over Lance, stares straight into his eyes, and then something changes. His face becomes completely focused. He gapes at the one human like she's a ham bone.
Sit, she says.
He plunks onto his bum, and voila, a treat falls into his open mouth. It's beyond impressive. But it's not over.
Stay,
the one human says, holding out her arm. She steps back. Lance waits, completely still, eyes glued on her as if in a trance. Another treat sails over and, nice grab. This happens a few more times. We're all thinking the same thing. It can't be that easy. But nobody has the guts to do anything about it. Or do they? I turn to Sadie, then to Rocky.
Just watch, you guys, I say. I totally have this.
I swivel back to Hattie.
Yo, buddy, where's my treat?
I bark.
I jump up and paw her legs. She jerks away.
Fenway!
I can feel rather than see the attention.
Come on, where is it? I bark.
Again charging at her. Right on cue, the one human comes over. One sniff reveals that she has the treats, too. She hovers over me, her body tall and dominant.
Sit, she commands.
Talk about intimidating. My hind legs crumble. I sit onto my bum. She looks into my eyes.
Stay,
she says, extending her arm. I freeze in place. I want to hop up and grab those treats, but her strong gaze and powerful energy are warning me not to. The one human takes a step. I'm still as a statue. Work it, work it, and bingo, chomp! The treat's in my mouth, and wowee, is it ever yummy. Really, this game is too easy. Apparently, the one human's not very smart. When it's dark outside, we're back at home. I'm curled up in Hattie's cozy bed. She's smelling minty and subdued. She quickly kisses my front paws, then begins brushing my fur. I sigh happily with each luxurious stroke. I snuggle against my Hattie's chest, ready to melt into a pool of delight. But something's different. Instead of singing, best buddies, she's talking in that same quiet, serious voice she used before. She's telling me to pay attention to something important. But what? Chapter 8. When it's morning time, Hattie rubs her eyes. Yippee, she's awake. I crawl up to her face and lick her cheek, my whole backside wagging with excitement. Get up, Hattie, I bark. It's time to play. She laughs and strokes my back. Then she rolls over, her gaze drifting to the top of the dresser, where her backpack is. She gets out of bed and reaches for it. My tail goes crazy with a wonderful memory. That backpack is full of treats. I fly off the bed, running around her bare feet. Hooray! Hooray! Treats are coming! Hattie grabs a few treats and bounces on her toes.
Sit, Fenway, she says.
Oh boy, I can't wait for those treats. I jump and jump, sniffing wildly at her fist. Ouch! I collide with the chair and a stack of clean clothes tumbles to the floor. As Hattie bends down to scoop them up, I'm ready. Chomp! Mmm, that was awfully easy and tasty.
Fenway!
Hattie scolds, her voice annoyed. What's up with that? Didn't she want me to have the treat? Hattie sighs and starts refolding the clothes.
Apparently, playtime is over. Or maybe not. A bacony smell wafts in from the hallway. Wowee, I love bacon. I speed out the door. Great news, Hattie, I bark. Bacon! I bound down the stairs straight toward the bacony aroma, and sounds of popping and sizzling, until I get to the eating place doorway and skid to a stop. My tummy sinks. Curse you, wicked floor! Food lady and fetch man are sitting at the table holding steaming cups that smell like coffee. I inhale the smoky, salty scent of bacon. My tongue can already taste it. Hattie trots right on in, her energy full of purpose. She snatches a strip of glistening bacon and turns to me. Fenway, come, she says. Fetchman pats food lady's arm. His face is beaming with pride. Hattie stretches out her hand, as if I didn't notice she was holding a piece of ripply, gorgeous bacon. Fenway, come, she says again. My belly roars with desire. Saliva drips onto my whiskers. The wicked floor is standing between me and that wondrously yummy bacon. Hattie gazes at me sweetly. She wants to give it to me. She edges closer. Fenway, come! Why is she doing this to me? I jump up and up, scratching my claws against the wall. Give me that bacon, I whine. Food lady's eyes widen. Fetchman shoots up from his seat. Fenway, no! Hattie shouts. She rushes over, shooing my paws off the wall, with that bacon still in her hand. Chomp! Wow, that was easy. I lick my chops. Food lady goes to the front closet and grabs my leash. Hattie, she says, her face full of encouragement. Hattie looks defeated. She trudges over to food lady, who rubs her shoulders. Hooray! Hooray! We're finally going to the dog park. The real one, with big water dishes to splash in, benches to climb on, and dogs. Lots of romping dogs. I dash to Hattie's side, leaping and twirling. She clips on the leash, and we head to the front door. We walk right past the jump rope coiled on the floor. Its scent of familiar short humans and gritty pavement has grown so faint, it's almost unrecognizable. It's a mystery, but there's no time to investigate. There's ball playing to be played. I pull Hattie down the steps and into the hot blazing sun. After stopping to pee on a patch of grass, me, not her, we head down the walkway and onto the actual street, where cars and trucks and buses go. I try to let Hattie know that this is a bad idea by pulling her onto the sidewalk. But, whoa, the sidewalk is gone. Where will I find yummy crumbs to eat or sticky wrappers to lick? Apparently, it doesn't matter because Hattie is determined to walk in the street. Good thing there are no cars or trucks or buses coming. In fact, it's strangely quiet. No human voices yelling or sirens screaming, and not even one car door slamming. The only noises I hear are buzzing bees and fluty, chirpy birds up in the leafy trees. It's also wrong. Where did everything go? And those aren't the only problems. Hattie's heading up the street without Fetchman or Food Lady. They're supposed to come on walks. Where are they? Why is Hattie leaving without them? As I scout around, I see even more signs of trouble. Where are all the lampposts and parking meters? Or trash cans? What will I sniff? How will I know which dogs have passed by? The more I protest, the more Hattie yanks the leash. Maybe I'm worrying for nothing, because up ahead, beyond the trees, there it is, the dog park. I know that fence anywhere. My tail starts wagging, my legs move faster, but Hattie's pace does not quicken. Doesn't she realize how important it is to get to the dog park? Hurry, I bark. The other dogs are probably already playing without us. I sniff like crazy, trying to pick up whiffs of who might be there. My ears try to catch sounds of jingling, panting, frolicking dogs, but all I smell are chipmunks, and all I hear are more bees and birds, which is weird. because we're almost there. I can hardly wait. I practically drag Hattie along the fence. I'm searching for the gate when my ears droop. My tail stops wagging. It's a park, all right. A planty, shrubbery sort of park. With a path that leads up to a porch and a house, just like ours. No bench to climb on, no dogs to romp with. Hattie does not smell concerned. Apparently she knows the way. We pass more houses and I sense a pattern. Clusters of trees, grass, a driveway. More clusters of trees, more grass, another driveway. Where's the traffic light where we wait and sniff? Where's the fire hydrant covered with pigeon poop? We must have a lot farther to go. We come to another planty shrubbery park when I do a double take. There's an animal about my size, a perfectly still dog. He's got containers on either side of his back, with flowers sprouting out of them. I know every dog has a job, but let's just say I'm glad my job is not holding a bunch of flowers. The perfectly still dog is standing perfectly still, his ears spiked, his head focused forward. As if he doesn't even notice us. How rude. Hattie must see him too, but she refuses to stop. Probably for the best. We're searching for dogs to play with, and this guy doesn't seem like any fun at all. We pause at a dense cluster of shrubs, and I take the opportunity to pee. We go past a couple more houses and driveways. Then, off in the distance, I hear a roaring, clanking sound. It grows louder and louder and louder. Something is approaching. Hattie pulls me to the side of the road just as it appears. I know this thing. It's the big brown truck that prowls the streets and leaves packages in the lobby downstairs. But somehow it got bigger and browner, and it's truckier than I remember. What's it doing here? Did it follow us all the way from our other neighborhood? In any case, there's no time for questions. I have a short human to protect. I lunge at the monster, baring my teeth. Go away, you beast, or pay the consequences. Hattie gasps and yanks me out of the street. Fenway, sit! 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 She yells, obviously upset by this menace. I'm ready to attack the truck if it comes to that. I jump and growl, showing him just how serious I am. And my work pays off. The big brown truck rattles on by with a bang and a roar and a boom. Fumes linger as it cruises away. Stinky, sinister fumes. And don't come back, I bark. But instead of thanking me, Hattie looks annoyed. Oh, Fenway, she says with a frustrated sigh. She must be eager to get to the dog park. Hey, I'm eager too. It's not like I asked for the interruption. As we continue on, all I smell are birds, squirrels, and the occasional chipmunk. I spot nothing more interesting than a stone wall, a telephone pole, or a planter of roses. My tail sinks with a terrible thought. This is not the way to the dog park. Where are we going? I redouble my efforts. I sniff every tree, every shrub, every driveway. Wait a minute. We're on the same street as before. We are passing the same trees and grassy parks we've already gone by. We pass by the perfectly still dog who's in the exact same spot as last time. Before I know it, we end up back at our own home. Hello, we didn't go to the dog park, or the place where short humans with backpacks go, or anywhere. We didn't come back with bread or milk, or donuts. What did we do? Just wander around? But instead of smelling frustrated or ashamed or sad that we didn't get to play, Hattie skips up the front walkway perfectly satisfied. What is that about? We're almost to the porch when off in the distance I hear the rattling, the roaring, the booming, louder and louder. It's the big brown truck again. It pulls right up to the walk, obviously following us. How dare it return? I spring up and bare my teeth, pulling on the leash. I warned you not to come back, I barked. As evil human hops down from the truck carrying a package, he heads right toward us as if he can't even hear me. I leap wildly. Prepare for certain doom. Fenway, sit! 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 Hattie yells, tugging on the leash. Does she have no faith in me? As I lunge, ready to strike, the evil human tosses the package at Hattie. Then he pivots and hurries back to the big brown truck. What can I say? Clearly he was freaked out by the ferocious barking. After a horribly sinister roar, the big brown truck rattles away. And don't ever think about coming back, I bark, swaggering up the steps after a job well done. Hattie whisks me through the door, full of glee. She's obviously thrilled I scared away the nasty beast. She unclips the leash and we burst into the lounging place. Fetchman stops loading books onto a shelf. Squealing, Hattie rips open the package. She pulls out something soft, a cap. She tucks it onto her head and pulls her bushy hair through a hole in the back like a fluffy tail. She smells awfully excited about it. So does Fetchman. And that's not all. Hattie reaches back into the package and produces a fat glove that smells like new leather. She slides her hand into it, then starts punching it. Fetchman grins, like he's been waiting his whole life for this very moment. It's so disturbing. My Hattie doesn't wear a cap or a fat leathery glove. What's going on? As I sink into the carpet, Hattie runs back and opens the front door. She calls to Fetchman one single word, Angel. Chapter 9. Later, I'm out in our dog park, scratching my ear, when I spy a despicable squirrel, and then another even bigger than the first. The two odious rodents are chasing each other through the grass, where they know they don't belong. I spring to my feet. Their fluffy tails are waving and taunting. I race after them, watching them disappear into a nearby shrub. Do they actually think they can hide from me? Well, they're about to learn a very big lesson. No squirrels allowed, I bark, thrusting my snout into the shrubbery foliage. Do you hear me? But obviously they don't. They're tumbling and battling, spitting and screeching at each other. Chipper chatter squawk! I've got you now, I bark, plunging in deeper. The shrub crackles and rustles. The squirrels scamper out of the back and scoot across the dog park. Do they think they can escape? Ha! You can't outsmart me, I bark. I back out of the shrub, shaking leaves off my coat. The two nasty vermin chase each other through the grass. I'm hot on their tails. They're making for the giant tree. They fly up the trunk, clacking and squawking. I leap against the bark, panting and straining as they scurry up into the leafy branches. No doubt headed for the squirrel house to continue their fight. Good riddance, I bark. Phew, that was tiring work. I curl up along one of the tree big roots in the cool, refreshing shade. I'm about to doze off when I hear a wonderful creaking sound. I lift my head. The side gate is opening. Whoopee, finally, dogs are coming to play. I jump up and bolt over. But what I see are not dogs. It's way more exciting. Hattie and Angel. They're wearing matching caps with long tails of their swinging in the back. With long tails of hair swinging in the back. And they each have a fat glove on one hand. Hooray! Hooray! I dash through the grass, my tail wagging out of control. I'm so happy to see you, I bark, jumping and pawing their legs. I knew you'd come back. Hattie and Angel exchange quick glances. Get off, Hen Fenway, Hattie snaps, her voice wavery and hesitant. She must be wondering if Angel will threaten our fun. I fling myself at her knees. Don't worry, Hattie, I bark. We can all play together. It'll be awesome. She sneaks another knowing look at Angel, who raises an eyebrow. What could that be about? Fenway, sit! Stay! Hattie says, pointing at the fence. What does she want to show me? I zip over there and root around in the dirt. Could there be a stick she wants me to snag? Whatever it is, I don't have time to find out. Angel is loping through the grass. Hattie's charging in the opposite direction, punching her glove. This can only mean one thing. Playtime! Yippee! I sprint over to Hattie. Angel flips a white ball high up in the air. It falls back down into her glove with a thump. She looks over at us. Ready? I'm so ready, I'm so ready, I bark. I leap, I twist. I've never been more ready. Hattie holds out her glove. The ball goes soaring through the air. It bounces on the ground behind her and rolls into the bushes. Wowee! Fetch is one of my favorite games. I take off after it.
Fenway!
Hattie shouts, and the chase is on. I squeeze under the bush with Hattie's arm right behind me. Ha! This is too easy. I'm about to snatch it, but Hattie's hand gets there first. Hey, I'm supposed to fetch the ball, I bark, hurrying after her as she jogs back with the prize. Hattie winds up and throws the ball. I'm after it like a shot. Nothing can stop me from snagging it this time, even though Angel is standing right where the ball is headed. Talk about an unfair advantage. Angel jumps up, waving her glove. The ball sails over her head and lands with a plunk in a cluster of flowers near the back fence. She tears after it. I'm close behind. Fenway, stop! Hattie yells. Panting wildly, I arrive at the flowers just as Angel plucks the ball off the ground. Foiled again, she charges past me, clutching it in her fat glove. I sprint after her, lunging for her arm. No fair! No fair! I bark. Without breaking stride, Angel hurls the ball toward the porch. Hattie is already there, bouncing on her toes. Another huge head start. I bolt through the grass, my sides heaving. I've got to beat Hattie to the ball. She swipes her glove at it, but the ball whizzes right on by. It plops near the porch and rolls under the bottom step. Hattie's shoulders deflate. With a loud sigh, she jogs after it. Ha! I'm there first. You won't win this time, I bark. It's the most fun ever. Fenway, no! She cries as my teeth sink into the ball. She lunges for me, but I wiggle out of her grasp. I tear around the dog park. Fenway, Hattie calls again, racing after me. Drop the ball! I streak past the bushes and round the corner. I spot Angel rushing at me from the opposite direction. Fenway, she yells, waving her hands. Clutching the hard leather ball in my jaws, I whiz around her. Hattie's hustling toward me from the other side, her arms outstretched. Fenway, she shouts. I dart one way, then the other. Whoopee! Playing chase with Hattie is my favorite game. But playing with two short humans is even more fun. Every time one of them gets too close, I swerve the other way. I rocket past Hattie. I race away from Angel, but they keep trying to catch me. They love this game as much as I do. I'm exhausted, but there's no way I'll give up. I circle the entire dog park a couple more times, then realize the short humans are slowing down. Hattie is breathing hard. She glances at Angel, who is frowning. I slacken my pace. My whole body is shaking with fatigue. I drop down in the cool grass and let the slobbery ball fall out of my mouth. Hattie folds her arms, her face gloomy. Angel is chattering, but my own panting is all I can hear. Soon I recover enough to catch exciting sounds, clink, tink, clink, from over the fence. I hop up and saunter over. I peer through the slats. Goldie is scratching. Patches is sniffing the ground. Sup, ladies, I say. They look up. Fenway, Patches says. I'm not sure if you noticed, I say, but that was me playing with those two short humans. Mind you, mine and yours. They can't get enough of me. Playing? Goldie's eyes are skeptical. Is that what you call it? Yep, I say. I got my Hattie back, just like I said I would. Patches looks curious. How did you do that? It was really nothing. I scratched a couple of times under my collar. All I did was save Hattie from the big brown truck twice. And you think that turned everything around? Goldie says with a huff. Of course, I hold my snout high. What can I say? She appreciates me. Right then, the side gate bangs shut, and we all turn. Hattie is hanging her head. Angel is gone. So, Fenway, Patches says gently, I don't want to burst your bubble, but... What? Angel must have gotten tired, I say. Hattie's still here, and we're going to play chase again. Maybe you ladies would like to watch. Patches makes a pained face. Fenway? She says, jutting her nose up in the direction of the giant tree. When I turn, I see Hattie climbing up the trunk. My head droops. I hate to say I told you so, mutters Goldie. I drop down in the grass and lick my paw, like that's the part of me that hurts. I hear Patch's lovely voice say, so sad, so sad.